I don't think you determine what your purpose is. I think you discover what your purpose is. There's a difference.
This is all we've got right here, right now. We don't know how much we have left in the future, but we do know what we've got now.
95% of the people live their entire life and never live the way they want to live.
Do you know that the law of attraction is always working? It's like the law of gravity. If I let this go, it's going to go down. It's never going to go back up. It's going to go down.
He's widely regarded as one of the living masters and teachers of the law of attraction. For over 50 years, he's transformed the lives of people through his books, seminars, and personal coaching. He worked shoulder to shoulder with Earl Nightingale in the 60s and 70s. He's Bob Proctor, and here's my take on his top 10 rules for success. Rule number 5 is my personal favorite, and make sure to stick around all the way to the end for some special bonus clips. And as always, if Bob says something that really, really resonates with you, please leave it down in the comments below and put quotes around it so other people can be inspired as well. Enjoy.
I don't think you determine what your purpose is. I think you discover what your purpose is. There's a difference. Determining indicates deciding. And I don't think you decide. I think if you go about it the right way, you discover it. Like there's some people that should be painting all day. They're great artists. I think Michelangelo was obviously a great artist, a great sculptor. I mean, that was his purpose in his life. Well, I believe my purpose is doing what I'm doing. Your purpose is why you get out of bed in the morning. Do you know why you get up? Well, most people say, well, it's to go to work. Well, that'd be a good reason to stay in bed. You know, you say, well, everybody's doing it. That'd be another reason to stay in bed. If you're ever doing what everybody's doing, you're probably going in the wrong direction. Your purpose is your reason for living. What you want to do is sit down and maybe take a pen and a pad and then ask yourself, what do I really love doing? Now, you may have to spend a while at this. You might get up an hour early every morning and go sit under a tree somewhere if you're in a nice climate, or pick a favorite chair, someplace where you're not going to be disturbed, and totally relax and say, if I could spend my life doing something, what do I really love doing? Now, since you don't ask yourself that question every day, it might take a while for this answer to come to the surface. But it comes to your consciousness. And it may take a while. You may have to do this every morning for 3 months. But it would be well invested, the time.
How many times have you had somebody say to you, hey, have you got a minute, Bob? Have you got a minute? They don't want a minute. I want you to think about that. I read a poem one time. It said, I have only just a minute, only 60 seconds in it. It was forced upon me. I can't refuse it. I didn't seek it and I didn't choose it, but it's up to me to use it. I must suffer if I lose it, give account if I abuse it. It's only a tiny little minute, but eternity is in it. Well, anyway, I thought, I'm going to put this on a video and I'm just going to share it with everybody. Just this one little part out of the seminar I'm making. I want you to look at this sand timer and let this, I want you to think about your life. The sand in the top of the glass represents the future. The sand in the bottom of the glass represents the past. Now, do you know, we know what's in the past and yet we can't do anything about it. Do you know what the trick is? You don't know how much sand's in the top of the glass. You may think you have a lot, you might only have a little. Then again, you may think you have a little, and you might have a lot. When I was a little boy, I was raised by my grandmother. And I don't know, when I was a little gaffer, she was probably 60, but as long as I can remember, Grandma would say, I'll soon be gone, dear, I'll soon be gone. Well, you know, we loved her. She was really an angel of God, but we thought she was never going to go. She lived to be 94 for 30-some years. I'll soon be gone. She didn't think she had much time left. She had 34 years left. Now, about the same time, I had a buddy of mine, Bob Yates. He was just 16. And bang, he ran into the abutment of a bridge and his life was snuffed out. If you had asked him a half hour before how much sand he had left, he would have said at least a half a century. He didn't have a half an hour. See, the trick is we don't know how much sand we have left. The future, we don't know. The past, it's gone. Now, the only thing you can deal with is what's right here, right now. And if you look, the sand is always moving. Now, think of this. You see, I was working on that, and then I was working on a graph I've got here on my computer, and I'm thinking of the time somebody said, hey, have you got a minute? Well, they don't really want a minute. Do you know if you're earning $50,000 a year, a minute's 42 cents? A half hour is $12.50. If we take that ahead a bit, if you're earning $80,000 a year, a minute, 67 cents. Half hour is $20. If you're earning $150,000 a year, got a minute? It costs you $1.25 a minute. A half hour is $37.50. So do you see, if somebody said, you want to stop for a cup of coffee? Well, if you're earning $250,000 a year, a minute is $2.08. Half hour is $62.50. And then, of course, you got the coffee to pay for on top of that. So you see, the point is this. This is all we've got right here, right now. We don't know how much we have left in the future, but we do know what we've got now. And I have found the people that win are the people who make up their mind. They're not going to waste the minutes. They're going to be productive. They're going to make it happen every minute.
The success was the progressive realization of a worthy ideal. Anyone that has a goal and they're moving towards it, they're successful. Most people think that you're successful if you have a lot of money. Quite often you have a lot of money if you're successful, but it isn't. I wouldn't say Mother Teresa has a lot of money.
Okay.
You know, but she's a pretty successful lady. So it's...
Okay, so that barrier to success...
Well, there's a couple of them.
Okay.
I think there's two barriers. One is our conditioning. The conditioning that takes place in our subconscious mind from the time we're infants. All we can do is act and talk like the people around us. That's why we learn the language we learned. If there was 10 languages spoken in our home, we'd learn 10 languages without any trouble. There's usually one, and that's the only one we ever learn. And we grow older and we think, well, I couldn't learn another language. We could learn 100 if we wanted to. You can do anything. But I think we're conditioned. We have a real strong conditioning, usually with not some very good ideas. And then that's the barrier that's inside us. The one that's outside of us is our environment. We have a tendency to act like everybody around us. And if you think about this, it doesn't make a lot of sense. Because if you study statistics, 95% of the people live their entire life and never live the way they want to live. You know that 95% of the population in this country, let's say in North America,
okay,
the richest continent in the history of the world, they'll work productively, let's say for 40 of their 65 years,
okay,
and they'll end up with hardly any money. Well, there's got to be something wrong.
So there's not much.
5% of the people end up financially comfortable or independent.
Are you trying to depress us, Bob? Because that's
no. Actually, I think it's quite an exciting idea, because you see, the idea behind it is that anybody can win, anyone at all. But if we start studying these statistics, I think we'll arrive at the conclusion, geez, I better start thinking for myself rather than follow everybody. Most people, they get a job, they look around, they see how everybody else is doing their work, and they start doing it the same way.
Mm-hmm.
They should stop and think, I wonder if any of these people know what they're doing. You know, is there a better way to do it?
Well, don't we have a need to fit in? I mean, we don't want to stand out, we don't want to get fired, we don't want to make waves.
Exactly. Exactly. Just fall into line, you know, take a number, be like everybody around. You know, that'd be great in the animal kingdom, but human beings aren't supposed to live that way. I think we should make a few waves. We should maybe stand out, be different. Not for the sake of being different,
okay,
but because we are different. We all think different thoughts. And I believe we should start to think and build images in our mind of what we'd like to do and then set out and do it.
Okay,
Emerson did that, Edison did that, Marconi did that, Samuel Morse did that, Buckminster Fuller did that. We could go on and on and on.
Okay.
They were different. They stood out. They made a few waves.
You should seek failures. See, if you're playing it safe, you're not going to win. If you're playing it safe, like that old saying, you know, you were taught when you're a little girl, better to be safe than sorry. Well, that's a bunch of crap. It's not better to be safe than sorry. It's by trying things that you figure out how far you can go. You got to get outside the box. Like it's reported, Edison tried 3,000 ways before he built the incandescent light. He said he didn't fail 3,000 times. He said there was 3,000 different steps to building a light bulb. Well, there's different steps to get to where you're going. And I really do treat winning and losing exactly the same. I do not let it upset me.
Do you think that's a big part of why you're so successful?
Well, it's part of why I enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it is, because I'll try anything. Like if I'm into an idea, the idea of losing never enters my mind. See, I have worked with giants. I had the good fortune of working with Sir Edmund Hillary. He was the first man to stand on top of the world. And I worked with him on three different occasions. And the only difference in Ed Hillary and Bob Proctor is in his size. Now, he's gone now, but he was a big man. When he shook hands with me, his hand wrapped right around mine. I felt like a dwarf, you know. And in talking to him, like it never entered his mind he wouldn't get to the top of the mountain, but he failed in 1951, he failed in 1952. It wasn't until 1953 that he got to the top of the mountain. Now, people had died for centuries trying to do that. But he said, I knew if I could see it in here, I could hold it out here. Stella Mann wrote that in a book. If you can see it in your head, you can hold it in your hand. And that's right. And if you're not prepared to lose, you're never going to win, because you're always playing it safe. And there's no reward in that. Look at these two men. Do you know who they are? Most people don't. They're just a couple of ordinary guys. One, they're both gone now, but one was an ordinary beekeeper in Auckland, New Zealand, and the other a Sherpa guide from over around Nepal. Now, there's Mount Everest. Do you know, for thousands of years, people had tried to get to the top of Mount Everest. People died doing it. It was believed it couldn't be done. People tried, but they didn't know how, and so they quit. There's a closer look at the mountain and where they placed their flag. They planted that flag in the mountain. Now, this is the two of them after they come down the mountain. And you know something? When they started, they did not know how. They didn't know how to get to the top of the mountain. And that's what stops most people, because they don't know how. As little kids, we'd go, Mommy, Daddy, I want this. And they say, now, how are you going to do that? Well, as a little kid, you don't know how to do it. But they did it. In 1953, on the 29th of May, they were the first two to get to the top of that mountain. They stood right on top of the world. Do you know there's been over 1,000 people do it since then? I watched a young woman on Canadian television being interviewed, not very big. She had just come back from going to the top of Mount Everest. And the reporter asked her, they said, how does it feel now that you conquered the mountain? She said, we didn't conquer the mountain. That mountain can't be conquered. We conquered the limitations that are within ourselves.
Select a person who is already doing something that you'd like to do. Get to know that person.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the experts for advice. Don't ask the person next door, your mother, father, brother, or the guy that works beside you, because they don't necessarily know. There's no point in asking a person how to earn a lot of money if they're only earning $10,000 a year. They don't know. If they knew, they'd probably be earning a lot. It's like, don't
fair.
Go to a sick doctor if you want to get healthy.
Okay.
So you find someone that you can go to for advice. Get a real good book and lock into that book and start to study it. Like, I've had this one that looks like a Bible, you know. But this is Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. I've been reading this thing now for 23 years. I'll probably read it for another 23 years. I get another good book that I brought over here today. It's called The Power of Your Subconscious Mind. Now, I'm not getting a commission for selling this. The author's dead now. He's been gone for a couple of years. But Dr. Joseph Murphy wrote this book, The Power of Your Subconscious Mind. And that's probably one of the best books that you're ever going to find, because you're going to learn something about your mind when you read this book.
Okay.
Now, I read a lot of books. I've got probably 1,000 books sitting in my den at home in my library. But the one that I carry it everywhere I go, and I read it all the time, is Think and Grow Rich. I never stop reading it.
Now, where's the value for you to reread that and read it again? I mean, you must know it well enough that...
I think I could probably recite it verbatim. But the secret is, I once read in a book where it said, when you read a good book through the second time, you don't see something in it that you didn't see before. You see something in yourself that wasn't there before. You see, when I read this, I create a greater awareness.
You know, many years ago, I read a book by Terry Cole Whitaker. It was a classic. What you think of me is none of my business. Think of the amount of time that is wasted on negative energy, wondering what other people think of you. What they think of you really doesn't make any difference. It's what you think of you that makes a difference. So as you go through the day, don't worry about what other people think of you. Just say, I'm all right. I'm God's highest form of creation.
See this line? That's called the terror barrier. Yeah, jumping at you, isn't it? And on the other side of the terror barrier is something we call freedom. And you know, very few people get through that terror barrier. It's rather sad. Freedom is available to everyone. There isn't anyone that cannot live the way they want to live. See? Why don't they? Why don't they? They don't know. And they don't even know they don't know. Now I'm going to show you why people experience buyer's remorse when they buy something they really want, and then they back away, or they go to move and they don't. They go to change jobs and they don't. They go to move to another city and they don't. Why? Fear causes them to stay where they are. There's the individual. The X represents the unknown factor, the paradigm. Now, there's a power flowing into this individual's mind, and they can make anything out of it they want. Remember we said we had the ability to choose? What do they choose? They choose thoughts that are in harmony with the paradigm. Now, here's an important point. The paradigm controls the vibration of this thing we call our body. Our body is a molecular instrument. That's really what it is. It's a mass of molecules and a very high speed of vibration. The vibration that the body's in, on a conscious level, we call feeling. When a person says they feel this way or they feel that way, what they're really doing is describing the vibration they're in. Now, they choose thoughts that harmonize with the vibration they're in, so they feel comfortable. They may not like the results, but they're comfortable. Now, let's move ahead. Let's take a look here. Those people are getting X-type results and they don't like it. Do you know what the problem with them? They're in bondage. These people are locked up. Do you know, paradigm is like keeping a person in a prison. Only there's no locks on the door. They can open the prison and walk out into freedom anytime they want, and they don't. They keep getting the same results over and over and over again. They're in bondage. Now, let's go ahead. Here's the same person. X-type conditioning, X-type vibration. The power's flowing into them. And for some strange reason, from left field, ba-boom, in comes a Y-type idea. What is a Y-type idea? The Y-type idea represents anything that you might want to do that you're not doing. It might be moved to another city, change jobs, sell the house, buy the farm, whatever it may be. Ask the little girl for the date. Ask the guy to go to lunch. Go make the sale. Buy what you want. Go where you want to go. That's the why idea. But as long as the why idea is just in the conscious mind, it's just going to be an intellectual exercise. It's never going to happen. So how do we make it happen? Well, that's when everything goes haywire. Here we are here. Same person. Okay? The power flows in. And what do? They got the Y-type idea. Now, for some strange reason, they know that they've got to get emotionally involved if they're going to act on that idea. They don't understand what's going to happen, but clearly understand this. Your central nervous system is the most complex electrical system in the universe. The central nervous system is mind-boggling. It would make the electrical system in a supercomputer look like a toy. Now, the second you take the idea from your intellect and impress it upon the subject of mind, that's when all hell breaks loose. Because the body moves in to an XY vibration. It's not in the X vibration, not the one that we're comfortable with. May not like the results, but we're comfortable. No, on a conscious level, everything's going crazy. On a conscious level, we experience doubt. The doubt turns into an emotion called fear, and that fear is expressed through the body as anxiety. See, that person is getting emotionally involved to move ahead. Do you know what happens? They hit that terror barrier and they bounce off it and right back into bondage. And they're so relieved to get back there. They're back where they're comfortable. They've canceled the sale. They've decided not to move. They're going to stay in the job that they don't like. At least they're comfortable. Now, that's not a very good way to live. And you know something? That's something everybody experiences if they're going to grow. You're going to hit that terror barrier. See, the terror barrier is going beyond where you're at, going to a new level. I'm going to tell you something. When I set a goal, if it doesn't scare and excite me at the same time, I know I'm going in the wrong direction. Now, I also understand that my paradigm is going to try and get me to bounce back to where I was. It doesn't want me to move ahead. I don't want to live there. I lived there for the first 26 years of my life. And for the last 50, I've had a phenomenal life. And it just keeps getting better. And I want you to do the same thing. Understand what I've just said. I'm going to back this up. They got emotionally involved in the why idea. That moved their body into a different vibration. On a conscious level, they're experiencing some crazy stuff. They start to doubt their ability. They'll never be able to pay for it. They experience fear. The fear expresses itself as anxiety. And bang, you bounce off that terror barrier, and you're right back. Oh, I might not be earning much here, but I know what it is. I would love to move there, but I'm comfortable here. I think I'll just stay here. These people are acting like they have a contract to live forever. And they don't. Do you know what to do? Say, I'm going to get rid of all that. I understand it's there, but I don't want any part of it. And I'm going to go crashing right through that terror barrier. Now, does that get rid of the X energy? No. The X energy is still there, you see. But at least you're over into freedom. You made the move. You did it. And if you continue to feed the right information into your mind, keep feeding that why idea. Keep getting emotionally involved in the why idea. You're there. You're on the road. Keep doing that. You're going to find that the paradigm is going to change and it'll just all go away. And you know where you're living? In freedom. You're living where you want to live. Buyer's remorse is when you cancel a sale. Buyer's remorse is when you stop just before you buy what you really want. Before you go for the thing that's going to change your life and you know it. It's not moving to the other city. It's not starting the business of your dreams. It's not stepping out and betting on yourself. That's a terror barrier that's causing that. And if you don't learn to go through the terror barrier, I'm going to tell you something, you're going to stay right where you are for the rest of your days. That's not a good place to be. What did Joseph Campbell say? So true. The cave you fear to enter holds the treasure you seek.
Many years ago, I read where Napoleon Hill pointed out that the imagination is the most marvelous, miraculous, inconceivably powerful force that the world has ever known. And you know, the average individual uses the imagination, if they use it at all, against themselves. They imagine what they don't want. They imagine problems coming. Let's begin to use our imagination the way God meant it to be used. It's the greatest creative faculty that we possess. And we can build anything we want with it. I want you to wander around your home or possibly your office and take a look at all of the conveniences that you have there that you didn't have, let's say, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years ago, 25 years ago. Do you know that every one of them, without exception, was first created in the mind of one individual with their imagination? Do you know you can use your imagination to go into the future and bring it into the present? That's what all highly successful people do. They see where they want to go, and then they act like the person they want to become. It was William James from Harvard's advice. He says it's the actor's technique. Act like the person you want to become. How do you do that? Well, you use your imagination, of course. You see, it's a strange phenomenon, but the greatest gift we've got is used very well up till the ages of 4 or possibly 5. The little child We always wonder what's going on in their mind. They're using their imagination. They're building wonderful pictures in their mind. But then they get to school, and wham, like that, it comes to an abrupt halt. It's called not paying attention. Daydreaming. Well, what they were really doing was exercising a phenomenal mental faculty. You see, we can see, hear, smell, taste, touch. They're for our physical benefit. As long as we're living in a physical body and corresponding with the material world, we will use our sensory factors. But you know, I have a couple of little dogs at home that can hear, see, smell, taste, and touch. We've got higher faculties. You have perception, the will, memory, intuition, reason, and imagination. These marvelous tools. We can take our imagination and build an image in our mind of how we want to live. Block out what's going now. Don't let your present results have anything to do with this. Just what you want. And it's with your imagination that you will build it. Everything that we have, the camera that I'm speaking to right now, was first created in the mind of one individual. Think of how our world's changed. You see, we were gifted with these higher faculties. We're God's highest form of creation. We were created in God's image. We were given creative faculties to use. And you know, they're only used by 2 or 3% of the population. It's almost inconceivable that people would wander around with so much power and potential and squander it. See, the average person literally tiptoes through life, hoping they make it safely to death. It's such a shame, and it doesn't have to be that way. Think we have giant corporations and little wee creative departments. The primary reason for that is the average individual really does not believe that they're creative. Now think, everyone's creative, and no one is more creative than another. It's just that some have chosen to use their creative faculties to a greater degree than others. Imagination, your imagination. What do you want? How do you really want to live? Build the picture in your mind. There's a power that is flowing to and through you. A creative, unadulterated power. It can be photographed leaving your body. Way back in the 30s, Semyon Kurilin, the Russian photographer, perfected a form of photography where you can actually photograph a person's body and you will see the energy glowing from them. Well, that energy flows into your mind. And it's the images you build in your mind that's going to dictate the vibration that this instrument you're living in is in. And the vibration on a conscious level is called feeling. Make certain that you exercise your imagination daily. Build beautiful images in your mind of how you want to live, and then hold those pictures there and live that way. The imagination, the greatest nation in the world, the imagination. You've got one. It's a marvelous creative tool. It deals with the invisible side of your personality. You see, no one will ever really see you. They'll only see your body, and they'll see you, the great work that you do. Make certain that your work is great work. And if you keep your imagination alive, keep it active, you're going to have a phenomenal life. But you know, life can get better every day, and it will get better every day through the proper use of your imagination. What a wonderful idea.
Do you know that the law of attraction is always working? It's like the law of gravity. If I let this go, it's going to go down. It's never going to go back up. It's going to go down. That is the law of gravity. Anything heavier than Earth is attracted towards the center of the world. Well, the law of attraction is always working. Now, how does it work? Well, I use a diagram to explain the mind. Now, let this circle represent your mind. And let this little circle here represent your body. Now, I want you to think of this for a moment. Your body is a molecular structure. This is a mass of energy and a very high speed of vibration. If you looked at your body through a microscope, you'd see that energy dancing right before your eyes. And here's something that'll keep you thinking for the next 20 years. When you move out of it, the body does not stop moving. If you go to a funeral parlor and pick up the remains and look at it, you will see it moving. And if it wasn't moving, how would it ever change to dust? You move into your body and you will move out of it. And it's how you use your mind that's going to dictate the vibration you're in. Now stay with me. You have an imaginary line right across here, and that separates the conscious mind from the subconscious mind. Now the subconscious mind has been programmed. When you were a little baby, this is the way it was. You're just like this. Subconscious mind wide open, and everything that was going on around it went right in there. And all the energy that went in there when you were just a little baby formed something called a paradigm. Now, a paradigm is information. It's a multitude of habits. You are the product of your environment, but prior to that, you were the product of a genetic strain that goes back for generations. Now, I'm going to say that the paradigm is X-type energy. Now, you've got the ability here on a conscious level to think. And you can think anything you want to think. And as you think, you build ideas. There's a power that's flowing into your consciousness. It never stops. It flows to and through you. You can actually photograph this power leaving you. It flows to and through you. Now, as it flows in, you will start thinking, and you'll probably think X-type thoughts. Therefore, you're going to be in an X-type vibration. And that will produce X-type results. Now, it's the results you want to change. And to change the results, you're going to have to change what you attract. You see, the thoughts that you think control the vibration that you're in. Vibration is nothing but an idea. It's a law of the universe. Everything vibrates. Nothing rests. We live in an ocean of motion. And it's the thoughts that you're thinking that you impress upon your subconscious mind that control the vibration the body's in, and that dictates how you act, but it also dictates what you attract. You attract energy that's in harmony with you. You attract people that are in harmony with you. You see, everything operates on frequencies. There's an infinite number of frequencies, but you and I operate on a frequency just like a radio station does. And the only music you can attract is the music that is tuned into the vibration you're in. Now, it's the paradigm that has been controlling the vibration. You can change your thinking, but that doesn't do anything. You got to change the paradigm. And if you don't change the paradigm, nothing happens. Now, talking about paradigms is another subject. We'll do that at another time. But it's the thoughts that you think that control the vibration you're in, and that dictates what you attract. So if you keep attracting what you don't want, understand this. It's the paradigm that's causing the problem. You can think a Y-type thought, which is totally different than the X-type conditioning. It isn't going to go anywhere. Because when you go to get emotionally involved, and this is the emotional mind, when you go to get emotionally involved with that Y-type thought, the paradigm will kick it out. You know why? It's so uncomfortable. That's stepping out of the box. That's doing things different. And we don't like to do things different because it causes a lot of discomfort. But understand this. The paradigm and the thinking control the vibration you're in. And the vibration you're in is going to dictate what you attract. People that are in a poverty consciousness will continue to attract lack and limitation. It has nothing to do with this. What's going on here? This is your educated mind, and you could gather all kinds of information. Have you ever wondered why some people have such an educated mind? They have degrees coming right off the end of their business card, but it doesn't show up in their results. Why? Paradigm. The law of attraction. You've got to change this. You got to change the vibration you're in, and your whole world changes. Listen, in 1961, a man gave me this book, and he said, do exactly what I tell you. He was giving me Y-type ideas. It caused an enormous amount of discomfort, but I did exactly what he said. And you know something? My income went from $4,000 to $175,000 in a year, and then I took it over $1 million. It took me 9.5 years to figure out what happened. This is what I'm showing you. Watch this over and over and over again. There's a number of lessons in here. And another lesson, I'm going to show you how to change the paradigm. When you change the paradigm, the change in results is automatic. You know why? You start to attract something new, something different. And what we want to do is program in positive information and eliminate the negative. And I'm going to show you how to do that. The law of attraction. You attract according to the vibration you're in. This thing we live in is a molecular structure. Your body is a mass of energy. Do you know if you put your body in front of an infrared television camera in a completely dark room, your whole being would be nothing but a glistening, radiating, gleaming form. Feeling is conscious awareness of the vibration we're in. When we don't feel good, we're in a negative vibration. You want to feel good? Move into a positive vibration. Stop and think of what you're grateful for. But understand this, you will never attract to you wealth, happiness, health, until you get the paradigm and get you on that frequency. It's Bob Proctor, and thank you.
Thank you guys so much for watching. I made this video because Pagla Bai asked me to. So if there's a famous entrepreneur that you want me to profile next, leave it down in the comments below and I'll see what I can do. I'd also love to know, what did Bob say that resonated with you the most? What rule had the biggest impact on you? What did you learn from this today that you're gonna apply to your business or your life? Please share it, leave it in the comments below. I'm gonna join in the discussion. Thank you guys again for watching. I believe in you. I hope you continue to believe in yourself and whatever your one word is. Much love. I'll see you soon.
Your vision is how you're going to execute your purpose. Your purpose is why you're living. Your vision is how you're going to execute it. So your vision would be a long-range vision of a whole bunch of things that you would love to do. Like, I have all kinds of things I want to do. When I'm in the air, I spend almost all my time, hardly ever watch a movie or anything like that, I spend almost all my time thinking. And I think, how can I do what I'm doing better? How can I do it in a bigger way? Like, we started a streaming club. We have a streaming club where I stream every week. And we're going to expand on that. And that was the result of me I went into Tel Aviv, to Cyprus, to Melbourne, to Auckland, to Los Angeles, and back to Toronto. And the people were all saying, could I just spend a little time with you? And I thought, God, I should be able to spend time with them, but I had to catch another plane. And so the idea of the streaming club came to me. So that was an idea that was part of my vision, and I acted on it immediately. So your vision is a long-range view of all the things that you'd like to do that are all on purpose. Every one of them would be helping you execute your purpose.
Cybernetics and paradigms. Very, very interesting subject. Cybernetics and paradigms are both control systems that operate essentially on the same principle. Both maintain a definite course of action and will not deviate from the course that has been established. You must alter the paradigm to achieve the result that you desire. Now think about that for a moment. You'll see people stuck at a certain level. Go ask any sales manager to give you the names of their salespeople, and they can tell you what those salespeople are going to do next month and next year. Why? Because they're programmed. They just come in about the same, maybe up and down a little, but they come in about the same. How about athletes? Every coach will tell you exactly how they're going to play. There's patterns. They're called habitual patterns. Well, that's a paradigm. Now, this is a beautiful concept, so let's understand it. Cybernetics and paradigms, all right? There's a thermostat. Now, a thermostat in your home is a cybernetic instrument. Now, I live in Toronto, so a good part of the year, it gets pretty cold there. Other parts of the year, it gets pretty warm. But
in the winter, you would have your thermostats set to control the room temperature at around 70 degrees. Now, you could be sitting there reading a book or something, and all of a sudden you feel a draft around your feet, and you're starting to feel a little cool, and you think, what's going on? So you go and look at the thermometer, and you notice that the temperature is not 70, it's dropped to 65 degrees. You start to investigate, you think, what's wrong? And you'll notice the front door's open. Now, it used to be, when I was a little boy, you'd go and check on the furnace, because maybe the furnace had gone out. And you'd have to shake all the ashes down and build another fire and get it going again. Not today. Today we've got cybernetic mechanisms hooked up to our heating system. You see, the thermostat measures the deviation from the set goal. What was the set goal? The set goal is 70. But the temperature is at 65. Things have changed. The thermostat sends a message to the furnace, and automatically the fire is turned on. The fan's turned on, and the temperature starts to rise. And it gets up to 66, 67, 68, 69, and it'll take it right back until it's back on course at 70 degrees. And then the fire and the fan are turned off. Now think of that. And it all happens automatically. That's a cybernetic mechanism. Interesting, isn't it? Do you know you've got a cybernetic mechanism in you? Let's look at it another way. Let's look up at the sky. Here's a big plane. Now, the automatic pilot on a commercial plane is a cybernetic instrument. That's exactly what it is. And you see, a flight pattern is programmed into the plane's computer system. When the plane goes off course, the cybernetic system measures the deviation from the set goal, and it corrects the flight pattern. The plane is brought back on course. It's correct, 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 correct. Do you know a rocket going to the moon is off course 97% of the time? Let's take a look at it from a different perspective. There's a plane leaving Chicago, and it's flying to Paris. Now, when the plane leaves the vicinity, it's just getting off the ground. You see the wheels are still down. It's just getting up there. The automatic pilot is flipped on. The pilot could come back and have dinner with you. Now, they don't leave the cockpit, but they're not necessarily doing anything. It's all done automatically. And you see, when that plane's flying along, it gets hit by some turbulence, gets knocked off course. Do you know what happens? The cybernetic mechanism cuts in. It's activated, and it puts the plane back on course again. It all happens automatically. Pilot doesn't even have to do anything. But ultimately, although it goes off course and gets knocked back on course, it ends up in Paris. Now, think about that for a moment. Here's you, and you have locked into your subconscious mind a self-image. And that self-image operates like a cybernetic mechanism, okay? Your self-image is a cybernetic instrument. Now, let's suppose your self-image is that you are overweight. No, you don't talk about it. You don't want anybody else to talk about it. But inside, you feel you're overweight. And you just get to a point where you can't handle it anymore, so you make a decision, I'm going to go on a diet, and you instantly move into action. Now, what happens? Well, you start to lose weight. Why? You're starving yourself. You don't eat anything white, you know, and on we go. No more chocolate. Why? Because they make you fat. That's not what makes you fat. It's the image that makes you fat. If you had a skinny image, you could eat all the chocolate in the world. You just pass off what's not needed for the manifestation of the image through your eliminative system. Eliminative system is one of the systems in your body. Now, here's the point. When a person who is overweight goes on a diet without changing or altering the self-image, any weight loss is temporary. That's why people gain and lose tons in a lifetime. Say they lose it, you're automatically programmed to find whatever you lose. The self-image, being a cybernetic instrument, measures the deviation from the set goal and immediately corrects the course. The weight that was lost will be found. You see, you look at the scales, you don't relate. That's not really me. That's not really me. So what happens? The weight's put back on again. Isn't that interesting? I know. If you have a weight problem, you're saying, damn, I never knew that. Well, now you do know it.
But you see, if you're going to change the weight, you've got to change the paradigm. That's what our company's all about. We help people change paradigms. We help them live in the body they want to live in. I'm so happy and grateful now that I'm at my perfect weight. I'm looking good and I'm feeling great. You can do that. You can live the way you want to live. You're God's highest form of creation. Where's another area that we could use? Well, you can use it in any area. Let's take a child in school. Now, this is all in Psycho-Cybernetics, Dr. Maxwell Maltz's book. And here's something else. What's the point of making heroic vows of amendment if the same old lawbreakers are going to keep them? I am going to take the weight off. But you don't change the lawbreaker, the paradigm. Emerson was right. Of what use to make heroic vows of amendment if the same old lawbreaker is going to keep them?
Greatness comes from fantasy. I would imagine that when Edison first saw the light bulb, he was fantasizing. But he kept fantasizing, and he built it into a theory, and then he built it into an image, and then he built it into a fact.
Yeah.
I mean, when I was a kid, it was a fantasy to think of going to the moon.
Mm-hmm.
We've been up there with cars, playing golf.